We're going to continue tonight with the idea of godly leadership, and tonight we're going to take a little bit of a look at the ladies, and I think that's fair. We've been picking on the guys for a while, so we're going to pick on the ladies tonight. I think it's a wonderful topic. I've enjoyed the study of it. My topic title would be Godly Wife, Leader's Wife. A man cannot be a leader in God's church without a godly wife. It is impossible. And it is opposed to God's plan for leadership. And so as we've thought about men whose faith we can follow, the women have absolutely a part to play in that, as women have a part to play in the function of the church and in the work of the church and the work of the gospel and ultimately in men and women going to heaven. And we want to go to heaven. That's what I want. And I know that's what you want, or you wouldn't be here tonight. But leadership is valuable, and it's important. In fact, it's critical to men and women making it to heaven. The Lord looked down, and he saw the people like sheep without a shepherd, and they were scattered. And people need to be gathered together and educated and taught and led so that they can make it to heaven. So we're going to think about this idea of a godly life, wife being a leader's wife. And Proverbs 31 verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. It would be utterly impossible to put a number on the value a woman brings to a man in his life. Of enormous value. Far, far above rubies. A woman who is virtuous. A woman who is godly. And I know there's all you women here today are striving for that. And I want to commend you on that effort, because life is tough. And it's hard to be a man in this life. It's hard to be a godly woman. And there are so many things in our nation that are opposed to those things. And you can look here and you can look there, and you won't find many good examples of women who are virtuous in the world. But God's plan is desperately seeking those who are virtuous. There are no godly men without godly women. None. Every godly man in this world has been influenced by godly women. From his mother, to sisters or aunts, to grandmother. And if those people weren't godly, then women in the church were godly examples to that man. Women who taught him and helped him by influence, at the minimum. There's not a single man in this world that is godly without the influence of godly women. I think the reverse is true as well. There's no godly women in this world without the influence of godly men, whether it's a father or grandfather or uncles or husband or cousins or men in the church. But we rely on one another for godliness. We need those influences in our life. That's why a godly wife or virtuous woman, her price is so valuable and it's so wonderful. And God put it this way in the beginning in Genesis 2 verse 18, which I'm sure you're familiar. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." I want you to notice he didn't say, "Man's got it all together, but I'll give him a helper." He didn't say that. In fact, he didn't say that the woman needs a helper. He saw man needed help. And he made him a helper. He made him a partner. He made it someone that could help him along the way and give him what he needed and make him a complete person. And that's why marriage came along, and that's why it is so valuable today. That's why it's so important. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. We've talked about this passage quite a bit. I've talked about it with many of you individually. And the qualifications that have to do with elders and deacons, as this review of leadership goes on, I want you to think about a passage that talks directly about women. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Just a few words. A few words, and it seems like there are a lot of words about those men, and I suppose rightly so. But there are a few words that they say a lot about wives and about godly women, and we just want to take a minute and look at some of these things. We'll have some comments about those things, and we're going to wind up spending a little more time on faithful in all things. But I want you to think with me just for a little bit about the idea of grave or a woman having gravity. It's not a word we use that much. And you might find, say, in the New King James, honorable or integrity or something of that nature, maybe in some other version. But the word gravity basically means living in an honorable and respectable way. Gravity is about behavior. Gravity is about how you live your life and how you treat other people. Gravity is about your conduct, presenting yourself with dignity, respectability, and honor. The world needs that. The world needs honorable people, honest people. The world is full of women who don't have honor. Don't live with honor. I believe it's going to get worse. And I would ask you to consider your life. You ladies, consider your conduct. Does your conduct demand respect? Demand honor? Does your walk with Christ, does your life as a Christian, do other people see that conduct and go, man, I wouldn't go to church with her. She says she's a Christian. I don't see it. Our conduct is noticed by everyone we meet. I think it's true for men too. But this is one of the qualities that's essential for a deacon or elder's wife. A life of integrity. A life that's honorable and respectable. It's said of the men too in 1 Timothy 3 verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave. And the Lord's fair. We all need to be people of integrity. We need to be honorable and good. We need to treat people fairly and with equality and be kind to all people. I was up in Massachusetts a couple of years ago and there was a Black Lives Matter protest. There where we were preaching on the street, and a lady come to me, and she said, what are you doing here? I was kind of intimidated, and I said, I'm promoting the love of Jesus Christ. She said, uh-huh. I said, yes, ma'am. Promoting the love of Jesus. She said, you don't think we can do that here? I said, I don't know what you can do. I'm from Texas. I don't know what you do up here. But I want to promote the love of Jesus. And we had a discussion, and she said, you know what, I think it's good. I said, well, good. I appreciate that. We, even if people protest or people dislike us, if people hate us, we ought to be people of integrity, treat people honorably, and conduct ourselves honorably because it reflects on the church. Proverbs 11, verse 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. Be a person of grace and conduct yourself that way. And it will certainly make a difference in your life. It will be a blessing in your life to your children and to others around you. Not slanderers. Another part of these qualities or qualifications. A leader's wife must not be a slanderer. This word is also one of Satan's titles, and it means false accuser. Many times in the New Testament, it is translated accuser. Or false accuser, and it has to do with our speech. It has to do with what we say and how we say it and what we say things about. The Thayer's Greek dictionary describes it as prone to slander. And I want to tell you, this is a very critical element of a leader's wife. And I'll be very frank and honest about that. Leader's wives have knowledge of situations. They have knowledge of problems. They have knowledge of difficulties. They have knowledge of sin. And they have challenges in their lives based on that knowledge. And they're going to just have information that's in their life. In Psalms 34, verse 13, he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. A leader's wife must at times take the knowledge she has and keep it secret. That's all it is. She's going to know things about people and have knowledge that sometimes likes to burn on our lips. Sometimes we get news and information and we just want to tell. I just want to tell. A good friend of mine, he loved to tell. whatever the news was. And he'd start to tell, and his father would say, "You don't tell everything you know." Good advice. He wanted to tell. He liked to tell those things. But a woman who talks about things she should not, or who accuses others falsely, is a slanderous woman. What she is. I don't know if you've ever heard, "Loose lips sink ships." A very common saying. It was an ad campaign during World War II. And a woman who talks about things that she should not, or shares knowledge about situations that are private, will destroy people in the church. So I want to encourage you, when things shouldn't be told, keep those things private. There may be times, as a leader's wife, your husband says, "You don't want to know." And let me tell you, my friend, you do not want to know. Some things can't be unknown. There are situations and there are tragedies and problems in the church you would be much better off not knowing. So if your man says you don't want to know, you don't. Trust him in that. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 5 verse 13, "With all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." It was a problem then. And let us tell you, we're going to talk about this a little bit as we go along, but this woman shouldn't be doing these things. She should be filling her life with good works. She should be busying herself with the work of the kingdom, with the work of her home, with the work of her family. Not sitting around and picking fights on Facebook or any such thing. Sober. Interesting word. I've studied it a lot the last few years, and I think I've learned a lot about it. The word means sober or not drunk, as you probably suppose. It also means temperate or self-controlled. It means abstaining from wine, and it also means circumspect. The word circumspect is a really interesting word. It means wise, or it means careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. This is a very broad term in its use. But sober can mean she doesn't drink and is not given to wine. It can mean self-controlled and a person who carefully considers their actions and their words. Meaning of the word. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." I think it probably means we should think about our actions, think about the things that lay ahead. It's probably very similar to a lot of those foresight passages we talked about Sunday. To have wisdom and to conduct yourself with wisdom, to make choices and decisions with wisdom through faith, through love, and through salvation. Those ideas and those principles ought to frame our minds and frame our actions. And a godly woman who's going to be the wife of a leader is going to have to think on these things and conduct herself in that way. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit more here in a moment. And as I said, she must keep some knowledge she has secret. That has to do with temperance or self-control. There's going to be times she's going to have to stay home and cook. She'd rather go watch the kids play ball or watch her favorite program on TV or read a book. There's going to be times she has to have self-control. That's sobriety. I've got to cook. We've got a funeral coming up. I'm not going to be able to go shopping next week. I need to shop. It's not wrong to shop. There's things I've got to tend to. There's people in the hospital I've got to go see. There's things of that nature, and sobriety lends to self-control in that way. Proverbs 11, verse 22 says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." Jewel of gold. I bought my wife this beautiful gold ring. Had three stones in it for our three kids. Beautiful. I hate to think of it in a hog snout. I was going to stay away from all the farm stuff, and I just get dragged in. No cow stuff tonight. We're talking about ladies. We're not going to talk about cows. Here I am. Anyway, sorry about that. Discretion is wisdom. It's being circumspect, making wise choices with what you say and what you do. It takes a woman who's beautiful and who's wonderful, and it turns her into something fit for a hog. That's what it does. I want to tell you, ladies, you're going to have to make a lot of choices that have to do with your family, with your children. Should they do this? Should they watch this? Should they have a phone at 7 years old or 10 years old? Or what can they access? Or who can they go with? There's a jillion decisions that women are going to be in some way involved. And those decisions are critical and they're important. They're all valuable. And sobriety has to do with a lot of those decisions. Another aspect of sobriety, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." Have you ever saw someone or heard someone say, "Well, she's just beside herself"? The meaning is she's lost control through anger or through alcohol. Happens to a lot of people. This goes back to temperance, the idea of sobriety through temperance, to have self-control, and you may get angry at people. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a leader's wife, there are going to be people who complain about your husband. It's going to happen. Complain about his work. Complain about the choices he makes. Complain about your children. We all have limits. I have limits. I try to maintain self-control. Occasionally, I get angry, and I try. Occasionally, I get really angry, and I quit trying. I see red. I don't know what I say. I'm beside myself. But sobriety demands that we maintain. People may complain. They have a right to complain. I don't think we ought to be a groaning and complaining people. I think we should try to be a contented people, but people can say, "I don't like this. I think we ought to do that or the other." But being sober means we're going to control those things, control emotions as best we can. Ephesians puts it this way in 4 verse 26 and 7, "Be angry and sin not." It's okay to be angry. It's not wrong. But a lot of times anger leads us to lose our sobriety and lose our self-control and say things we regret. Say things in anger, say things to hurt and to wound, and a leader's wife shouldn't do that. None of you should do that, but especially a church leader's wife. And then faithful in all things, a very broad term. The word faithful in this instance can mean trusty or faithful. I believe from Thayer's it says persons who shows themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or this discharge of duties. Now, just be frank. An elder's wife has duties that pertain to the eldership. She's not an elder. She's not the leader of the church, but she has responsibilities based on her husband being in that position. That's true of a deacon's wife, too. True. It's not wrong. It's perfectly normal. There's going to be responsibilities and duties that you have that are beyond the normal Christian duties if your husband's a leader. And the command is to be faithful in all things. Very broad. All things. So I want to think about a few things along the way. Titus 2, verses 3 and 4, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers." Very similar things that we've already read. "Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." A lot of parallels in that. But I want you to notice the activity. That's what I want you to think about with me for just a little while. A godly woman is active in the church. Active in teaching. Active instructing. Actively helping the younger women. You younger women, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Let them help you. Let them help you. They know the tricks of the trade. They may not have grown up with Facebook or Insta, whatever, but I'll tell you what, they know all the tricks of the trade and they can help you. And you older ladies, be proactive to help. Be proactive to teach. Be involved in that. Be faithful in those things. I think it's very important. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But notice what he says, but which becoming women professing godliness with good works. Adorn your life with good deeds. We could go through a long list of good deeds. We don't have to. What your hands find to do that's good, do it. Be thoughtful about what people need. Here's the truth. I want you to go to heaven, and there are things you're going to need along the way. Pray God somebody supply it. Because when I'm in need, I sure hope somebody will supply it. You ladies can supply wealth. The capacity that you have for good is enormous. But you have to seize the day and seize those opportunities and fill your life with doing good. Let those adornments adorn your life. That's what makes you a beautiful woman. Godly action. Look at a woman for just a moment. Acts 9, verse 36. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Now notice, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. A life full of good works and alms deeds. She was a woman not only who would help you, who would cook for you, who would sit with you and visit with you, who would comfort you, who would watch your children, but she would also take money out of her purse and help people who had financial needs. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. I can see this scene. We lived this scene a few weeks ago. People at the funeral home crying. We're looking at this body of our beloved brethren. We're weeping. We're telling stories about the things he did and the life that he lived and different things like that. And this is the scene here as these widows come up to show Peter, look at the clothes. Made me. Favorite color. She knew I was cold. She knitted me these slippers. She knew my father was ill. All he could eat was potato soup, and she made him potato soup every week. We would have went hungry without her. She gave us money where we could buy food. You bet they were crying. Someone who loved them is gone. Someone who made a difference in their life. Someone whose actions said, I want you to go to heaven. Lying cold. We skip down. Peter, having put them all forth without and bowed the knees, did pray. Having turned to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and having seen Peter, she sat up, and having given her his hand, he lifted her, and having called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. I want you to notice, it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Result of a life of good works, miracle done, was many. I'll tell you, your life as a godly woman will lead many to the Lord, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So I encourage you tonight to live your life and be faithful in all things. There's a lot of things that draw our attention. I know, as a wife, you're pulled in a jillion directions. I know. My wife is too. Activities and responsibilities and things that have to be done. I'm going to tell you, sacrifice to do those good things, do those good works, because it's going to make a difference to people. We're a team, and I'm afraid this is not taught enough. We think about the elders and the deacons and evangelists and the preachers and all those kinds of things, and it's men, men, men. Men do a lot of work, that's true, but I want to tell you, women are a whole part of the team, a half. And your effort and your work is going to make the difference in people going to heaven and not. Acts 18, verse 26, this one also began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and Aquilas and Priscilla, having heard of him, took him to them and did more exactly expound to him the way of God. Be a teacher. Teach your co-worker. Teach the bus driver. Dare I say, teach the Walmart checkout lady, if you can find one. If self-checkout, you can't hardly talk to nobody. Take opportunities to teach people and share your faith with people and do good works to people. See, I'm going to tell you something. I hear people say all the time, we can't get any Bible studies. I'm going to tell you the problem. You're not involved with people, and you're not making a point to involve yourself with them. Involve yourself with them. Get to know them and talk to them and share the Lord with them. You'll have studies run out your ears. Matthew 27:55, and many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Help people. Have a servant's heart. Take time to work and help for people. That's being faithful all things. Verse 56, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. Be involved and involved in the ministry. It's a wonderful thing. Romans 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Look at the influence this woman had. A servant of the church. Would you like that? Servant to the church. When people come down to College Park, they say, look, whatever she needs, you help her. Servant of the church. Living to help people go to heaven. And that's how the faithful in all things life is. Philippians 4, verse 3, and I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. You're a soldier. Soldier of the cross. Too many times, all the emphasis on the men. I commend you for your effort and your desire to be a godly woman. There will never be godly men without you. I'm convinced of it. Dedicate yourself to godliness, dedicate yourself to the work of the Lord. Sacrifice of your time and yourself. I know there's a jillion things pulling at you, demanding your time and attention. Tabitha was considered a very remarkable woman because she took time to help people. She sewed those clothes with her own hands. She gave money to people. That's the kind of example we can